Good morning. How you guys doing? You guys ready to hear a word? All right. Well, help me out now. Good morning. How you guys doing? All right. Don't act like I owe you money this morning. Okay. I got to tell you what. It's sometimes, you know, Sundays can be so hard because we're all so tired and we got stuff going on during the week. And just to be in the house of the Lord can be kind of difficult sometimes. Amen. But you're here. So let's give it up for the Lord while you're here. Right on. One time. Hey, we're here. We're going to do it. A couple announcements before we get started. This Wednesday, we have youth group at Ark Bible Church. It's going to be right here at the church. It's going to be at, is it 5:30, Sydney?
Yeah, 5:30
to 6:30 this Wednesday night. So if you've got kids, bring them on down. They're going to get blessed. They're going to have an amazing time. That's this Wednesday. Jan, Glenn, is Jan here today? Okay, so she's still out. Jan had surgery for her hip, and she says she's doing great. The healing process is working well. Asked her if we could come alongside of her and anything that we could do to help her, and she said she's doing good, but she would still like prayers through the process. Can you guys commit to pray for her through the process? Some of you don't even know Jan, but you don't need to know her to pray for her. Amen. Could you imagine if people were just praying for us that knew us? Forget that. If you don't need to know her. Here's the thing though. She is going through a tough time. She is healing up. It is going good, but we want to pray her way through the process. Amen. So we want to remember Jan. Also, too, something kind of cool, which is going to be happening really shortly, is we're doing cash for carpet. So we need to get these areas in here, the rope up and carpet down. So if you want to make a donation, an offering, and just say, hey, here's 50 cents, put it towards the carpet. We need to raise $3,000. So, but everything, you know, like that guy on the corner says, every little bit helps, amen? Okay, yeah, we're going to use it. So 50 cents, whatever you got, put it in for cash for carpet. Also, firewood. We're getting ready to go into the season, and you know how, you know what our heat is? It's burning out of that fireplace. So we're looking to buy firewood. If you guys know anybody that sells firewood, have them hit us up so we can get a couple cords for this winter. Also, too, this is really cool. Grace Wins. Tracy, raise your hand. Grace Wins this Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Newport Movie Theater. They had rented out the movie theater for the movie that has come out called Overcome. Is it Overcome?
Overcomer.
And so to get in, it's going to be free. So they're trying to bless the community. So what we want to do is we don't want Grace Wins and Tracy to have to, they've already secured it, it's a done deal. But we want to come alongside of them and help them in what they're trying to do for the community, because this movie is going to be legit. And so we want people to go to it. And this is a good opportunity for people to go that maybe don't have the finances to do it, that we can send them there and they can go for free. But maybe, just maybe, if God's laid it on your heart to give to it, to help her and to help Grace Wins with it, maybe just stop by and today, Tracy, raise your hand, just give her a check or $5 or something to kind of help shoulder the load. That's this Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And last, this is super cool. We have people listening to our messages all over the world. Thank God for the internet, amen? And Mel has friends in Indonesia that has been watching us. And so we just want to give a shout out to Indonesia. Let's give them a shout out this morning. You're not here, but we love you anyways. Amen. And we're so glad that you're joining us on us online. Now, here's the thing about it. Mel had told me to say, hi, how are you doing in Indonesian? And we practice it. And like four times, and I'm still not even going to say it. I have no idea. It's crazy. You got to roll R's and all kinds of weird stuff. But we want to say we love you, and we're praying for you, and we pray that God blesses you through the messages and the ministry through Ark Bible Church all the way on the other side of the world in Newport, Oregon. So praise God for that. That's cool. All right, let's open up in a word of prayer. You guys got your Bibles. We're going to head on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Lord, we love you. Have your way in this message this morning. God, I just pray that you set me aside. All my cares, all my concerns, all the things that would get in the way of what you'd have to say, get it out. Lord, I want to pray over every burdened heart in this place today. Everybody who's maybe come in with hurt in their body, sickness, depression, fear, anxiety, whatever. God, that you would just remove those and cast them as far as the east is from the west. God, that there would be a spirit of peace in this place for the next hour. And Lord, you inhabit the praises of your people. We believe it. So inhabit this place, Father, now. May your spirit fall and give us peace and rest. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. So last week, Mac taught. How many of you guys thought Mac did an awesome job last week? He did so good. He did so good. And the thing about Mac is I told him when he was preparing, I said, make sure you keep it down to 30 minutes. And he went a whole hour. And I was like, that's my boy. Do it. Because we try. I mean, you know, when we're teaching, we try to keep it in a good timeline. But man, where the Spirit leads, you just got to keep on going. And so Mac was teaching last week about spiritual gifts and how the church in Corinth, we've called our series, I've Got Issues, because as you guys have been going with us in the book of Corinth, how many of you realize that the church in Corinth has got issues? How many of you guys got issues? One guy. Everybody else is like lying, right? He's like, I got issues. We all got them. And that's why Paul's writing this book to straighten us out. It's about how we can pull it back together. And one of the things that Mac was talking about was about gifts, because all up until chapter 12, Paul has actually been talking about the church being messed up. And it's being anything other than what the church should be. And how many of you guys know people that say, you know what, I'll never go to a church because there's just a bunch of hypocrites there? Invite them and tell them you got room for one more. Amen? There's a lot of stuff going on in the church. And they're backbiting. They're sleeping around. They're suing each other. Talking trash online. It goes on and on and on and on. And so Paul's been addressing, hey, this is the stuff that is tearing you guys up. It's creating divisions. It's creating separation. And listen, I rebuke all of that stuff. You guys are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we got to start acting like that. And we got to start strengthening the church up. And because we're a reflection of Christ in the world. Did you know that? And if we're going to reflect Christ as Christians, we need to get some stuff straight. We don't want to become like the world. We want to be separated, indifferent. You remember how we were talking, if you go into a bar, you expect some drinking. If you go to a club, you're going to party. Hey, when you go into the house of God, you should be connecting with Christ in a way that is so different than what the world is doing. Amen? That we stand out in a way that says, hey, listen, Jesus is Lord, and we are his bride. We are his body. And so Paul now, as we go into chapter 12, verse 12, we're going to finish out verse 12 real quick. He's talking about how we build the body back up through spiritual gifts. And this is one of the ways that God uses us as a body for each other with these gifts that he's given us to strengthen up the church so we can unite instead of divide, build instead of tear down, and connect instead of separate. So this is what Paul, as he goes into this, is dealing with the church in Corinth, because with their spiritual gifts, they're gifted. And this kind of blows my mind, because they're not acting, they're acting like anything other than Christian, yet God has blessed them so richly and abundantly with gifts. Have you guys ever known anybody that was really gifted, but their character was messed up? They were just so gifted by God, but their life was just such a mess. Man, God's so good that he still gives us gifts even when we're not acting right. And so Paul's like, man, you guys are acting like children with toys when it comes to your gifts instead of adults with tools. It's like when my grandson comes over to the house, he loves playing with these big electric drills. And he came over to the house and he was wanting me to play with it. And I grabbed it and I was like, Randall, this is kind of cool. You're letting them play with, you know, cordless drills and stuff. And I pulled the trigger and it didn't work. And it was because Randall took the battery out, his dad. And I said, how come he took the battery out? And he goes, because every time he grabs that drill, he puts it in his mouth and he pulls the trigger. And so we had to take the battery pack out because he's going to drill his teeth out of his face. And I started thinking about how sometimes Christians with our spiritual gifts, we can actually do more harm than good because we're treating them like toys instead of tools. And so Paul says, listen, let's flip the switch and take what God has given each and every one of us and use it to build up and profit all of us as a body. And so he says, you got to get into the groove of your gift. In verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about your gifting, but use your gifting. Now, let me tell you guys something really quick before we get into this. Did you know you're so gifted? You were gifted. And if you're not walking into your gift or walking in your gift, in your anointing that God has put on your life, you are going to be the most miserable, depressed, insecure person in the world because you're not fitting. It's like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. Things aren't working right because you're not working the way God wants you to work out your salvation. And there's a groove to your gift. When I take off a Sunday and I'm not teaching, the first thing Vicki asked me, she goes, are you going to get weird? I'm like, what do you mean, am I going to get weird? She goes, because you're not teaching for the next Sunday. And every time you don't teach, you get weird. And everything gets all crazy. And she's right. Because I need time off sometimes, just like you guys need time off. But if you're not in the groove of your gift, things are going to get weird. And so Paul's like, listen, get into your groove of your gift and start working it and start developing it and start nurturing it because God has gifted you for a purpose. And so now Paul, as we go into verse 12 and finish out chapter 12, he starts with reminding the church in Corinth that I got to get over here. I didn't even open my Bible. I'm just like, man, going crazy. Chapter 12, verse 12. Paul starts out with them letting them know that they're all in the body of Christ. And this is what he says. We're all one together. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Jesus Christ. So Paul's reminding them that everybody is on the same team. And like a body, he's using this picture that although the body is one, we have all these different parts about us, but we're still one body. And if you look around the room today, just kind of look around for a second, look at everybody in here. We're all different. We've got different characteristics, personalities. You know, some of us in here walk around and we're just happy all the time. You know, nothing gets you down. You're too blessed to be distressed. And then others of us are not like that. And like we're walking around and we're not always happy all of the time. We're not always excited all of the time. And sometimes the people who are all happy are like, hey, what's wrong with you? How come you're not happy all the time? You're like, I don't know. I'm just... nothing's wrong. Just get out of my face. I'm not that happy today. I don't know. But we're all different, but we're all one body. And that's okay. That's okay that we're not the same, that we're all different. And some of us are really different. But it's all good. God wants to use all of us, not just some of us. And that's why when we just, this last Friday, how many of you guys were at Churches for Community at South Beach Church? Raise your hand. So Friday, when we did the event, what the idea of it was is to get all the churches together that would show up for unity and for our community to do something on the behalf of Safe Families for Children. We wanted to get our churches together because there can be a sense of disunity in our community. Did you know that? And it's sad. It is sad. And so what our churches want to do is we want to demonstrate that we're all one body coming together for the good of the community and to show that we all belong to Christ. You know, listen, whether it's Newport Nass, South Beach Church, Ark Bible Church, First Baptist, whatever the case may be, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. And guess what? We can play ball. It doesn't matter what church you're at or whatever. And so we don't have to wage war on how we worship, if we can do it with the drums, if we have to do it with the piano, how do we take communion, how often do we take communion. All of that stuff is besides the point. hey, listen, God wants us to be together, and we can play on the same team, and we should. And so what Paul's saying, he starts this out, and he's like, listen, it's so important that you guys understand that regardless of the churches around us and the people around us, we're still one with the Lord. We're all different, but we're all one, amen? And so Paul says in verse 13, he tells the church, he says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether Jews or Greeks, or whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. That's so crazy. I loved what he said right there. It really spoke to me. I don't know if it'd speak to you, but it got me excited, and here's why. Man, the Jews and the Greeks were not on the same level. Did you know that? You think there's racism in our country today? It's nothing compared to what was going on there. If you were a Greek, you were a dog. You were filthy. If you were in the marketplace, you're a Jew, and you brush up against someone who's a Gentile, they would go home and burn their clothes and take a bath. I mean, how would you like to do that if you're at Walmart and somebody bumped into you and they burnt their clothes off and had to go take a shower? You'd just be like, man, are you serious? I'm not that bad. So these guys, they were not on the same level. And Paul says, listen, I'm going to tell you guys something. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave or free, but you guys are all one in Christ. And here's why that spoke to me. Because what Paul is saying is whoever you were, whatever you've done, whatever you've gone through, there's no more labels in the Lord. Those are gone. Whether you're Jew, Greek, dope addict, porn addict, whatever, you're one now because of Jesus Christ, and there's no more labels in the Lord. Is that awesome? Man, let's give God praise for that this morning. There's no more labels. No more labels in the Lord. All that junk is gone. The only thing that's left is for you to own that. And that's hard to do. Paul gets it. And that's why he's telling them that. He's trying to talk to the guy who's got such a history, he can't get over it, and God has already forgiven it. And he's like, listen, no more labels in the Lord. We're all one. There's neither Greek or free. So Paul's telling him, hey, listen, we're all one. The labels are gone. And he told him that there have been, he said, by the Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, and we've all been made to drink into the one Spirit. And so what he's talking about there is when we gave our life to Jesus, and we confessed our sins, and we put our hope and our faith and our trust in the Lord. At that moment, that's when God gave us his Holy Spirit. Do you know if you're a Christian, you got the Spirit of God inside of you? See, sometimes people talk about this great baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what he's talking about here is that he's like, listen, this is at that point where you made a decision not to do your thing, but to do God's thing. To say, I want you to set up in my heart, and I want you to rule and reign, because I've been ruling and reigning. And now it's your turn, Lord, because I've made a mess of things. How many of you guys have done that? You've just done your own thing, gone your own way, got what you wanted, but then didn't want what you got? I doubt I'm talking to anybody in here. And so he's saying, listen, at that point, we got the Holy Spirit of God. We're saved. We're good. We're forgiven. Because you know what? Chances of you going outside of this door and getting it right are pretty low. But guess what? God didn't just forgive what you've done. He's forgiven what you're going to do too. He's good like that. He's merciful. And that blows my mind. Because when I forgive people, if I'm honest with you guys, I'll forgive you if you're sorry. But then sometimes when people keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, there's a point where I think we draw the line and we say, you know what, I'm done. But the Lord says, I'm long-suffering, I'm forgiving, patient, enduring. And so Paul says, listen, you guys were all baptized in the one Spirit when you got saved, and we were all made to drink of that same Spirit. Thank God for that. How many of you guys would have been drinking all night last night or the other, like 5 years ago? You guys just would have been torn up. And look at you now. You're here in church on Sunday, ready to drink something else. Amen? Amen. Man, God is so good. I think about that all the time. Every time I'm preparing for a message on Friday night, I'm just like, man, there was a time I was in the bar and now I'm in the Word. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you can have all that trash. What we got is so much better. And so, and look what he says in verse 14. We got to keep moving. He says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So now he's going to start talking about people in the church, us, and how we feel about things with each other when it comes to who you're sitting next to. Because sometimes when you're in church, you know, you can kind of feel insignificant. Different. And Paul addresses that when he says in verse 15, he says, and he's given a picture of the body again, many pieces, one body. He says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? So Paul's kind of having fun with these guys, and he's talking to them about this picture about the body and how people feel in the church at times. And he's using this picture of a foot, this poor old stinky foot that's all by itself, all alone, and feels totally disconnected from the rest of the body. And you know, I was thinking about our foot when I was reading this, and he's not calling us feet, by the way. He's saying sometimes you can just feel like all your friends got together, they're getting married, they're doing their thing, they've got this going on in the church, you know, you got your friends in the church, and everybody's doing this over here, and everybody's got their spot, and here you are, just kind of cut off aside, and you don't feel like you're a part of the body. And he says, the foot, if the foot says he's not part of the body, is he not still part of the body? Of course he is. And did you guys know that at the course of your life, your feet, you're going to walk about 35,000 miles? And in that, your heart's going to give out, your lungs are going to give out, your mind is going to go, some of us sooner than later. And everything's going to give out, but your feet are going to keep on going. And so what Paul's telling him, he's like, listen, you might feel like you're not part of the body, but you're very much a part of the body. And so I was asking Paul, I wonder why some Christians feel like they're not part of the body, like they're less. And here's why. Because the devil's a liar. You know, there's often times that you can hear the devil whispering, we don't belong, or there's nobody here going through what you're going through, dealing with what you're dealing with, the baggage you got. You don't belong here. And one of the things about our church, and I pray God that this is so, that we have a spirit in this place that we do come as we are, not as we should be. I do believe that about us. And I pray to God that we don't have these insecurities that says we don't belong, or we're different than everybody else. We've got issues nobody's dealing with. Because the reality of it is you're sitting next to somebody that's going through something. And Paul's saying, listen, even though we get these kind of mentalities and these mindsets, and the devil's saying, you know what, nobody really cares about you. You're just there to, you know, take up space or whatever. And then we can start believing these lies of the enemy and think that we're a different part of the body and we're not really connected. But everybody is somebody in Christ. Amen. So the devil loves to isolate. But not only are we to grow in our gifts and to say, okay, listen, not only am I somebody in this body, I need to grow in my gifts because we're gifted. Remember, this is about gifting. And not only do we want it, this is so important for our church as we're growing. We started last year, like this month. And as we grow, I want to tell you guys something. As we grow in our gifts, this is so important. We don't just focus on growing in our gifts, but we also focus growing in other people's gifts too. And this is what I mean. If I've got the, let's say God's gifted me to teach the word, to study the word, to pastor the church. That's my calling. That's my gifting. That's my groove. That's where I'm at. But then somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Jason, you know, I really need you to, you know, I need some help and they need some sympathy. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's not my bag. Why don't you go talk to Kathy Kabanak? She'll give you sympathy. She'll be there for you. That's ridiculous. And so what we should do is we should not only be growing in our gifts, but we should be looking around at the people around us, even your wife, your husband, your kids, your family members, your friends here. There's something about the people God has put in your life that is so amazing that if you would just pick and choose the good parts, they'll make you so much better. Man, I look at people like Tammy, and I look at people like Kathy, and I look at people like Michelle, Randall, all of you guys, and I pick and choose from you guys those qualities, and I'm saying, hey, Lord, I know that may not be my gift, but I want to grow in those gifts too. We want to not just grow in our gifts, but we want to grow in the gifts of other people too, right? We got to kind of stretch a little bit to grow, and that's not always easy. When you're in church and you're a part of the body, do you know you got to stretch a little bit to grow? You might have to pray in front of people. You might have to ask people, hey, how can I help you? You might have to, you know, when you're worshiping or whatever, we got to stretch a little bit, and that's okay. And so Paul's talking about us using these gifts and that we're all somebody if we're part of the body. Now he says to him in verse 17, he says that if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smell? Where would the smelling be? And so Paul looks at us and he says, listen, God's not, when he created Ark Bible Church, he didn't create a church of the Stepford Wives Church of Newport, Oregon, where everybody is just like perfect and he's got some cookie cutter and everybody's doing the same thing the same way. No, Paul's saying, listen, there is a diversity in our church, and it's going to be by design. I mean, think about if the whole body was an eye, like that thing on Monsters, Inc. Have you guys ever seen that little blob? He's like 90% eye. Or VeggieTales. I never got VeggieTales because, like, they didn't have no legs or necks, and, like, they still did stuff, and that always bothered me because I didn't know how it worked. But being that the VeggieTales was weird to me, a church without diversity is weird to God. Listen, diversity in our church is not only acceptable, it's essential. So it's good. If we're not a church of all kinds of different people, then something's wrong. And so Paul says, listen, diversity is acceptable and it's essential. In verse 18, he says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So he's saying Jesus calls the shots, and he puts us in the places that he wants to be, that we all work together. And I look at our church. You know, the reason why we're talking about this today is because it's in the Bible, and this is where we're at. I look at our church, and it says God puts us in the places that we need to be. And I was praying to the Lord about our church, and I was looking at it. And he was showing me, I mean, as the pastor, I have an important role. There's no question about it. You know, you gotta wait there. And I take that serious. But when it comes to this church, there's people that are running this that if they were not here, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be having church. And then some people would say, well, I could just go down the street and go to another church. Well, what if that wasn't there? The point of it is that from the lights to the bookkeeping to paying the insurance to the media online to everything that we see here, man, this is like, it's almost like a machine that's running, and the machine needs every single part. And God says, your part in this church is on purpose. And we'll get into your part in a second. But the reason why, for those of us who serve in our church, are in the positions we're in, is because God deemed it so before you were ever even born. I think of men who have businesses and that were running businesses, and now they're running parts of the church. He builds this stuff in our characteristics, whatever it may be. And Paul says, listen, you're in your place on purpose, so grow where you're planted. Grow in those things. Take it serious, those gifts that we have. And so Paul, he says in verse 20 and 21, He's dealing with a different group of people. So in verses 14 and 19, check this out. He's dealing with the person in church who comes into church and they're kind of like Eeyore. Have you guys ever seen Eeyore? Winnie the Pooh? And like he's happy about nothing, ever. And there's people, and there can be people in the church, I don't know necessarily many in this one, but they come to church and like everything is just, you know, they don't feel part of the body. They complain about everything. Nobody needs me. Now, Paul flips the switch on the other type of personality. And this person is the kind of person that says, I don't need anybody. And in verse 20, he says, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I've got no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I've got no need of you. So for whatever reason, this person comes to church and is like, you know what, I can just do this on my own. I can do life on my own. I don't need you. I don't need to be a part of you. I don't need your help. If I'm going to make a way, it's going to be my way, and I'll make it happen. I've got no need of you. Now, the reason why they come in like that is because maybe they had to grow up like that, where everything was dependent upon them. And if they didn't take care of themselves, nobody would take care of them. And I understand that. Some of us were raised up like that, like, man, if you're going to make it, you better make it, because you definitely ain't got no help from nobody else. And so some people have that mentality. I'm going to do it on my own. Other people got this idea, I've got no need of those around me, because they've come out of hurt. Church hurt. And like I've said before, there's no kind of hurt like church hurt. Amen? That's some very hard, difficult hurt to get over. But for whatever the reason is, they come into church and maybe it's just pride. I'm just going to make it on my own. I'm going to do things my own way. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible rebukes that idea. And Paul says, God has put people around you to help you go what you're going through. And to say that you don't have no need of anybody is only fooling yourself. Can you get through this life without anybody around you, with some good friends, some Christians who are loving and praying for you, watching over you, checking in on you, texting you? Yeah, you can do it. But you're going to have a hard life by yourself. And so Paul tells him, he says, listen, God's put people in your life to strengthen you, to help you go what you're, help you go through what you're going through. And check out verse 22. Paul says, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. In our unpresentable parts with greater modesty. Quick side note, this is so weird. Paul's telling you don't leave your house without your underwear on. I read that, I was like, what? Like I had to read it three times, seriously. And then I'm looking it up in the Greek. And what he says there, he says our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. So now he's talking about people in the church who may not be up front, who may not have big time positions. And he says, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one and another. And so Paul, he's talking about those people that don't have the spotlight on them, that people don't always see in the church, but how important they are, and how we got to make sure we're covering them, protecting them, encouraging them, equipping them. Now think about your body for a second. When was the last time you gave honor to your medulla oblongata? I mean, did you wake up today and you're just like, man, I'm going to honor my medulla oblongata? And that's the part of you that controls your breathing, your digestion, and like other stuff that you probably need. But you didn't wake up and think, man, I don't see my medulla oblongata, so I don't need to worry about it. Yeah, you do. You need it, right? And so what Paul's saying is those in the church who maybe you don't see and have seem to have a lower level of authority. Maybe it's children. You honor them and you treat them with more respect and honor. A pastor told me one time, he said, Jason, whenever a child comes up to you, he says, you get down on your knee and you get right down on their level. And you get on their level because that's what Jesus did. When the children came to the Lord and they seemed lesser in the community and in the culture, Jesus got down on their level and he honored them and he respected them. When there's people in our church, some of us may be getting older. Some of us maybe don't have a lot financially, or we're going through our own stuff and we're kind of in a weak state right now. Do you ever get in a weak state? Do you ever get those seasons where you're just like, man, I'm just like busted down and I don't really have much to offer anybody? And what Paul says is, listen, those people, we come alongside and we honor them and we bless them and we strengthen them, because God doesn't want some of his church strong, but he wants all of his church strong. And he's going to close us out with this in verse 26. He says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. And now he goes into some hypothetical questions, and this is good. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. So as we close this out, I want to tell you guys this, and I don't want you to forget it, but before he gets into this ending, he says, listen, you guys are a body, and you need to be caring for each other in such a way that when one of you suffers, you're all going to suffer. When one of you rejoices, you all rejoices. It doesn't matter how big the person is in the church or any of that stuff. When they're going through something, you're going to feel it because it's part of your body. That's how you know you're connected to a group of people, because if you're gone, if you're going through something, they miss you, you miss them. They're connected to the body. And when there's something going on with them, you're going to feel it. I was roofing for like 16 years, and I had a company with my brother-in-law. And I remember we were putting the felt on the ridge cap, and he was holding it like this with his hand. And I had a hammer tacker. Have you guys ever seen those hammer tackers? And they're heavy, like they got weight to them. And he's holding the felt to keep it tight, and I'm just like, wham, 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 wham. And I get to his finger, and I go, wham. And I stapled right through his finger. And he got up, and it amazed me because I hit his finger, but his whole body was going crazy. He's just running all around the roof, and he's holding his ears. Like, I'm like, dude, I didn't even hit you in your ears. He's like, my ears are ringing. He's like running all over the roof, and I'm like having to tackle the guy because he's bleeding all over the place. But what I thought was so weird is him holding his ears. Like, dude, what are you doing? Smack, I lit your finger up, man. But you know what? How many of you guys know that when you hurt something small on your body, it's not just that thing that you hurt. You feel it all over the place. And so Paul's saying, hey, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And he closes it out and he says, listen, I want you guys, when it comes to your gifts to strengthen the church, I want you guys to seek the best gift. And what's the best gift? Whatever you need in that moment. And so here, I want you worship team to come on up. I want you guys to remember that God has gifted you with something good. And that gifting that he's put in you, he wants to work out of you. Now, here's the thing about it. I believe there's people in our church today where God has this plan for them that he's going to get them to. And I think from A to B, to get to this plan, there's this process. And what can happen is during the process, if we're not careful, we can quit along the way before we see what God has for us to come into. That's why in Hebrews it says, don't grow weary in doing good, for you will reap a harvest in due season if you do not give up. And the reason why the Bible had to tell us that is because we give up. And it says, don't do that. God's got a gift in you, and it's for good. And when you step into that gift, you will see things amazing. You will have so much purpose. You will have, as far as you being insecure and having all this weird stuff in your life, when you get into the groove of your gift, man, things click and you start seeing things. And God uses you in a miraculous way. And so I just want to tell you guys, if you're here today and there's some of you here that maybe you feel like you're that foot and you're just like, man, I'm just kind of in this place and nobody really sees me and nobody thinks about me. I'm not getting texts from people. Nobody really cares. Listen, you're valuable and God's got a plan for your life. Maybe there's some of you here today and you just don't know what that gift is. You don't know what that plan is. You know how you find out what it is? You start stepping out in faith towards it. You know, Mac, last week when he taught, and there's no doubt, he's gifted to teach. The Lord had laid him on my heart, and I didn't know personally that Mac could teach. He's always been doing our soundboard and having our lights and things like that. But the Lord laid it on my heart. He says, you need to get with Mac because I want him to teach. But what amazed me about that is what Mac's been doing has had nothing to do with teaching at all for the last however long they've been here. And sometimes with you and your calling and your gift, you've got to go through this process of maybe being a place that you don't want to be or feel like you should be to get to the place that you got to be. But God's going to get you there if you believe him and trust in him. Amen. Would you guys stand with me this morning? We're going to close out. And I want to pray for the one in here today who's just kind of feeling like you don't know what God's doing. You don't know what your purpose is. You don't know what the future's going to hold. You don't know how it's going to work out. I want to tell you guys something. If you keep your eyes on the Lord and keep stepping out in faith, you're going to get to where he's wanting you to go. Step out. See what happens. Exercise that gift. Let me ask you, are you stepping out in it? Are you growing in it? Are you developing your gift that God's given you if you do know what it is? It'll make a difference in your life. It'll change your life because God's given us gifts and they're good. Amen? So, Father, we come into your presence today. And I pray as we close this service out, Lord, over the discouraged and the insecure here today, the hopeless, the one without direction. God, that you come alongside of them even now and you strengthen them up and that they know and they can trust that you've got plans for them. God, to bless them. They may not be where they want to be or where you even want them to be, but God, if they would just be patient in the process, you're going to get them to where they got to go. We don't got to fight. We don't got to stress out. We don't got to freak out. We just got to follow your plan, Lord. One step of faith at a time. And Lord, we want to just thank you for the greatest gift that anybody could ever get in your son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins. For not giving some of you, but giving all of you. Lord, that you would gain us. And so, Lord, as we close out this message, Lord, we want to do it in communion with you and thanksgiving for your gift that you gave us. For God so loved the world that he gave. Thank you for that. It could have read so much different. For he took, but you're a giver. Father, we just come into your presence today and we acknowledge that. We pray that if we have any bitterness against anybody right now in our life, unforgiveness towards them, that we let it go and we forgive them right now as we come to your table as you've forgiven us. We examine our hearts even now, Lord. Look, search us. See if there's any crooked way in us, God, that we may repent of it, Lord. Be forgiven and refreshed in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.